can eat everything right, you can exercise, and you can do all the things in the natural, but if you have deadly emotions,
strife, contention, offense,
murmuring,
anger, bitterness,
complaining, fault-finding, critical spirit, those deadly emotions will consume you.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and special guests Dr. Don and Mary Colbert as they begin this week's teaching, Prosper and Be in Good Health. Learn the importance of eliminating stress and the steps to keeping it out of your life.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. We open our hearts. We open our minds to the Spirit of the living God to receive revelation from heaven about Jesus, about the Word, our lives. And we just give you praise and we give you thanksgiving on this broadcast today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me today in welcoming Dr. and Mary Colbert to this studio? Praise God, and to this broadcast.
Great
Mary, God
here.
Bless you. My, you look beautiful today.
Amen.
You always do. You're like all these Holy Ghost women, boy. I mean, they really something. Hallelujah. You know, before we came on the air today, Dr. Colbert and I were discussing things that we were going to share today and talk about. And I had this scripture running over and over and over in my spirit from 3 John, very familiar scripture to, you know, to our crowd, because we, boy, this was one of the things that, one of the first things that began to change things in all of our lives. But the thing that was really, really, really sticking out to me this morning in my thinking, it begins with, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." This is an elder. And then I wasn't talking about him just being old. I mean, this man had been there personally with Jesus. He's the man Jesus turned his mother over to. He's the man that he's the one guy that stuck with Jesus right up through the trial, through all the way. He was standing at the foot of the cross, and he was in the empty tomb. Amen. Man, this is an elder. This is a man that would come closer to knowing the perfect will of God than any man alive at that time. This is the elder, John. And he said, "Beloved, I pray above all things." Hey, this has got to be serious. This hadn't been taken seriously enough.
Amen.
I pray above all things that you fast 3 days a week. And no, he could have, but what he said includes all of those other things. He said, "I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the word, the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth." Whoa.
Praise God.
The elder himself prays above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And he's excited when he hears that I'm walking in the Word.
Amen.
Now, I came into the studio with this going over and over and over in me this morning. And I said, "Dr. Colbert, what's the Holy Spirit talking to you about?" Well, now, both of these are very familiar scriptures. This one is very familiar to me. It is to you. It is to Dr. In 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, you're bought with a price. You got this from God. Don't you think you ought to take care of it?
Amen.
Huh? Now, when he read that scripture, and this one was running over and over in my mind, and the Spirit of God then, as we talked, married those two things in my mind, and it just went off in my spirit. Oh, man. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. God Himself gave it to me, and the elder said, I pray above all things that that body be healthy and that it be prosperous. Why? To do what God called it to do.
Amen. So many preachers, their lives are being cut short because they're making wrong choices.
God don't need you dead, dog.
That's right. You can't. I know. You can't lead anyone else
to
the Lord.
No, you can't do it.
Your ministry
Forgive
is...
Forgive me for butting in,
No.
I'm already preaching myself happy here.
That's
and I got...
true.
Amen.
That's true.
But what is even, what is also very important is Galatians 6, verse 24 in the New Living Translation says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of this sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. And Paul also says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present, you have to do it, you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have to do it not just one time, every day.
That brings this question back into my mind again. I talked to you about it earlier. And I don't think I ever coupled these two up just like this before. At least it didn't have this bright light shining on it as it does in me this morning. The old religious, what I call religious correctness, just that God would make my body sick so He could perfect me for what? I mean, here it is. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I have the elder John, the apostle himself, praying for me that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And then God comes in here and puts cancer on my body to teach me something That I can't force my mind to make any sense out of
There's
that.
No blessing.
There's no.
No. There's only curse. That's a curse.
And it doesn't work. But faith begins where the will of God is known. So when we know that it's God's will for me to be in health, for me to prosper, that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that all of this other stuff should have gone with the cross. It ought to be nailed on that cross. The sin and the curse and the death and the sickness, the very cancer that somebody might be referring to, should have been nailed on that cross, shouldn't it?
Amen.
Well, it was. Now, it needs to be nailed on there by me. I need to take care of this. I need to deal with this and offer my body as a sacrifice to God, not to kill it, but to make it alive.
Amen.
Well, what John says here, and when he addresses, even as your soul prospers, in other words, the soul part of man leads the whole body into health. So what is the soul part? The mind, the will, and the emotions.
The emotions are critical.
The emotions are a critical part that people, you can eat everything right, you can exercise, and you can do all the things in the natural, but if you have deadly emotions,
strife, contention, offense,
murmuring,
anger, bitterness,
complaining, fault finding, critical spirit, those deadly emotions will consume you.
I heard powerful man. He's a medical doctor and highly renowned neurosurgeon. And this was important to what you just said. He said being raised as a young black man, he said, I was involved in seeing to it that you did not mess up my rights, my civil rights. And he said, I had a lot of them. And he said, the more rights I could think of that you're violating, the more reasons I had to hate you.
Yeah, that's the spirit of offense. That's the spirit of offense.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? The word offense in the Bible comes from the word, the Greek word that means bait. And bait is how they would catch an animal in a trap. But Satan uses that bait of offense in order to catch the Christians and get this deadly emotion in them so they cannot receive the blessings of God. He's saying, just like offering a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, come on, drink a little of this poison, because he knows if you can get that root, that bitter, poisonous root of bitterness, it'll consume your thoughts, your emotions, and it'll literally set you on fire to stimulate the chronic stress response that starts to lead to disease. It's kind of like driving your car or your motorcycle in the red zone RPMs, you know? What happens when the body is consumed with offense and bitterness? It literally causes our stress response to become stuck, where our whole system is literally engaged all the time. Our hormonal system's on high alert. Our blood vessels are constricted, our heart rate's increased, our breathing rate is increased, fats and cholesterol and sugars dumped in the bloodstream to give us energy. See, our stress response literally becomes stuck as these deadly emotions literally start to consume our own bodies, our own temples, by literally getting stuck in the stress response. The same response meant to heal our lives starts to destroy our lives. And one of the best examples is over in Numbers chapter 21. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they were just so upset because they had to eat manna, and they started complaining about the manna and about their long journey, and they said, why did you send us here in the wilderness? They complained, there's nothing to eat here, nothing to drink. Well, God's supplying them manna from heaven, a perfect food that sustains them in perfect health for 40 years.
And Numbers what?
Numbers chapter 21.
Yeah.
And he says, you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. Children of Israel are complaining. There's nothing to eat here, nothing to drink. Now they're getting water from a rock, supernatural water, supernatural food every day except for the Sabbath. They have supernatural air conditioning and supernatural heating because the pillar of fire by night gave them supernatural heat. And the cloud by day gave them supernatural air conditioner. They have this super, they're under the supernatural every day. Now listen to what happened. It says, we hate this horrible manna. Manna sustained them, but they remember what they had in Egypt. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Now the Lord sent them. Then the people came to Moses, cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away these snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake. Now listen, one thing I want to point out. He did not take away the snakes. They prayed to take away the snakes. He didn't. Now listen to what he did. The Lord said, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze, attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Now this is a type and shadow of Jesus. And you know that bronze snake on a pole, you know that's our medical symbol. And that is a symbol of faith. But no longer does a doctor practice faith. Very rarely does a doctor really pray with a patient and expect them to be healed. Oh, we pray that you suffer through this, you know. But literally, this was a proclamation of faith that they were to look at that bronze serpent when they were bitten, and immediately as they looked and they exercised the faith to look up at that bronze serpent, they were healed. We have snakes in the body such as cancer. That's a serpent. That's a deadly adder that'll kill you. Heart disease. Many of these are choice diseases. But instead of looking first to the cross of Jesus, where he promised in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, you know, that by his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter 2, 24, that by his stripes we are healed. We simply, the blessing that, and the covenant that we're under, all we have to do is look at that cross and get the revelation of that cross. Can you imagine people in the Old Testament looking at that bronze serpent immediately healed when they were bitten. Now, all we have to do is look at Jesus in the revelation of the New Testament and the blood of Jesus and the stripes he received for our healing. And we get a hold of that and hold on it by faith and not believe that this sickness is to punish us, but hold on to that and fight the good fight of faith.
If you believe it was sent by God, you can't stand against it. It just can't be done.
Your belief is working on behalf of the disease.
Yeah.
Your belief is in the disease. Instead of in the healing power of the Word of God and the cross. So what we can do, if this worked on the Old Testament covenant, what a much better covenant we're under with the cross of Jesus, just looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith and
but
His stripes.
But what opened the door for those adders?
And is complaining.
We have a lot of pastors, Brother Copeland, that come to see Don from all over the world, flying to see him. And you'll listen to them, and they begin murmuring about their people,
complaining
about having to deal with this. And Don will sit there, and he'll listen to them of what's coming out, and they need somebody to vent to. So I'm not criticizing that, because you need sometimes a place that you can just vent and share with what's going on. But we can tell their health begins to fall because they've developed a murmuring, complaining, fault-finding attitude toward their own people. Instead of having an attitude of appreciation, Lord, thank you for giving me these people. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the people that I have. See, and when you look at Moses, you can see the very thing that kept him from entering into the promise was the fact that he had lost sight of the appreciation of the position he was in and what God had given him. He began, these people you've given me.
That's what Adam said in the garden.
This woman you gave me.
He never took responsibility for it of himself. Had he done that, I don't know. This could have turned out a totally different way. Had he ever just confessed his sin before God and given him thanks for the woman? Thank you for this woman, but I messed this up here. But he never did. That way of doing things puts a person in an extremely dangerous situation when you begin to blame somebody else for your problem.
Yes.
When you do that, you begin to judge them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you have established that you know better than what they're doing. So now you turn around. You say, I'll tell you one thing. If I was them now, I wouldn't have done that. Really? Mm-hmm. If you was them, you would have, because they just did. But Jesus said, by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. And by your words you'll stand judgment. Not what they did and not what they did to you or what they said about you.
Right.
It's by your words and what you do with it that you'll be judged. And that's the reason you set the standard for your judgment, and the higher you set it blaming somebody else, you're going to have to walk in
it. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Well, that, unless you got sense enough to say, hi, me, I'm the one.
I'm the problem here.
Change me first.
Yes.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you got your eyes full of what somebody else is doing to you. Mm-hmm. Well, that neurosurgeon I was talking about, he said he had all these rights. He said, when I dumped all those rights and I began to love and accepted Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, and he said, I began to love people, all of a sudden I didn't have so many rights. Amen. And he said, when my rights disappeared, I was hard to hurt because I wasn't holding anybody responsible for hurting me.
Amen.
He began to serve people. Mm-hmm. And his story goes on and about the love of God and the way it just transformed his life. And then as he began to love people, God was able to make a superior surgeon out of him. And before that, he was nothing but just an agitator and never would have amounted to anything, really,
right,
other than just a lot of trouble.
Right.
But the point was that the other people, even if they needed changing, it was God's love in him that would help change them, not what he was accusing them of.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you get back to what you were talking about, all this myriad of broken rights kept this thing constantly churning in him all the time, didn't it?
Offense. Yeah. Now,
again, so he's killing him, not them.
He's killing him.
That's right.
And again, what offense does, it's bitterness. It's a root of bitterness. And Hebrews 12:15 says, he says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grow up to trouble you and defile many, because it spills out on others, that offense. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 14, it says, do all things without murmuring, fault finding, and complaining, because this becomes a mindset, a stronghold. And as a stronghold, what happens, it becomes an imagination, so that literally we get stuck in these mental strongholds and we stop the blessing of God. We stop faith. We get out of the love walk, because love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record book. It's not provoked, see? There's no spirit of offense in love. You can't be walking the love walk and be offended. It's contrary to the love walk. And when we step out of the love walk, we step out of the blessing of God. And so what we're trying to do is...
So you got constant revolving misery all the time. And the more of it is there, that root stronger and stronger hold inside your whole body and your whole system of life. But not only that, it's messing up and destroying what should have been your blessing field.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Be a blessing to all these people. Mm-hmm. And now your health breaking down, and eventually you will become a liability. Your health is broken, your mind is broken. Mm-hmm. And you just teed off everybody in sight, and then went, well, I don't know why they don't love me. Well, you got a few minutes, I can tell you why they don't love you. You're just a crabby old thing that nobody wants anything to do with.
Right.
But on the other hand, you can turn that around.
Amen, you can.
Right.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have to be reminded that we are slaves of Christ. We are his slave. We have been enslaved to him.
Bonded to him. To serve.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're out of time.
Oh.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org. God's got a great life for you, starting with getting and then staying in shape. It doesn't have to be difficult. With just a little time, you can be on your way to health and fitness for life. Take charge of your health and get lasting results with the Health and Fitness Package, which combines two books and a downloadable exercise video. I Can Do This Diet by Dr. Colbert puts the power of your brain and body chemistry to work to help you lose weight and keep it off. It's full of new medical breakthroughs and practical tips. Get Fit and Live by Dr. Colbert and his son Kyle Colbert takes the guesswork out of exercise and helps you understand how much and what kind of exercise you need to reach your goals, get healthy, and be fit for life. They'll show you how to lose weight quickly and easily using just 7 exercises for 7 minutes a day. It's all part of a health and fitness package that gets you started on the journey to living well and enjoying life. Order the Health and Fitness Package today at a special 40% savings for just $25. This new package includes 2 powerful books by Dr. Don Colbert, Get Fit and Live, and I Can Do This Diet. For product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call 800-600-7395. or you may write to Kenneth Copeland. For these and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
There's something really, really important now that as born-again people, Christian people, we follow Jesus, and He's in good health. And in order to follow Him for our lives, you have to get yourself off your mind. He needs you. Jesus needs you. The body of Christ needs you. Jesus needs you in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, health is not just being without pain for a little while. People think they're healthy again. They take an aspirin. It got rid of the pain. No, it didn't. The pain's still there. Just masked over it. You're not healthy. You're just sick as you were. Health and wellness is a biblical process of life. And so nobody that I know of has a more powerful anointing to teach health and fitness and wellness than Dr. Don Colbert and Mary Colbert. They have spent their lives developing this. And now Kyle has come along. The first time I met Kyle, he was about that long. And I had him in my arms and was praying for him years and years ago. And now he's a fine, strong, young Christian man. And he and his dad have written this book, Get Fit and Live. And this is so neat. You ain't getting this back. This is my copy.
You understand? Yeah, that's yours.
And Dr. Colbert, I can do this diet, praise the Lord. To get you in good health and to help you with it. Praise God. I mean, when I first realized that God wanted me to turn this thing around and to help me do it, I didn't have a clue back there 43 years ago what to do. I just started eating boiled eggs, man, and I didn't know what I was doing. But God helped me and kept me from just killing myself. But you need to get a hold of this, and it's a good thing. It doesn't have to be full of dread and doubt and unbelief and pain and all of that. No, this is what the Word of God has to say about it, and it will help you. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Where there is strife, there is confusion, and every evil work.